Man, the presence of God is here today. Wow. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us and we're special to Him. He chose us. And I don't know about y'all, but I like the dynamics of God just kind of resting on me. It's like, thank you, Jesus, for His presence today. And so we're going to revisit last week's message on, amen, living in your sweet spot. The week prior was finding your sweet spot. And last week, God met with us in such a way, the dynamics and the presence of God was so thick in here. And He talked to me this week about He wants to pick up where He left off last week and pull us in a little closer to Him because He wants to give gifts out. I mean, He's just telling me this now, this part. Oh, you want to give some gifts out? Yeah, because when you're in the throne room of a king, you cannot leave without gifts. Go check it out. In our world today, if you was to visit a king and you was to go in by invitation to that throne room, they give gifts. There's evidence that you've been in the throne room. And the Lord wants you to know the gifts are immeasurable that He's giving to His children that come in, amen, to His inner chamber and fellowship with Him. Amen. There's always an evidence when you've been with your daddy, the king. And the way He shows us off in this world, the platform that He's created was you and me to reveal His glory to our world. Now, I know that you're not hearing our world voices say that, and you've heard some biological influence in your life that says you're never going to be worth anything. You'll never make it. Amen. You'll never, amen, ever be much of anything. You've heard those things before, whether they said it vocally, amen, some way or the other, the enemy gets in to beat you up and push you down and make you see yourself from less than who God says you are. And so with that being said, the Lord knows how to get us in our sweet spot. Amen. And, I started this out with giving you a definition of what a sweet spot is, and just want to quickly rehearse that as we move into this thought today. The sweet spot is the place where your greatest strengths and your personal power overlaps those arenas where you find ease, where there's little resistance and stress or stress. Anybody agree with that? You want to be in a place where there's a flow. There's an ebb and a flow, and you're not guessing. You know daddy's doing it through you. And so living in your sweet spot starts with the mindset that says, this day matters. This moment matters. This is the day that our Father has made. I've been given an opportunity to rejoice and be glad in it. So living in your sweet spot is the reason for being. You exist, amen, to show your Father's DNA off. You exist, amen, to say what your Father is saying. And through you, He gets glory for all of His creation, seeing His kids, His children, the apple of His eye. The Lord wants to do that with you today. Now, I know because of the process that all of us are in, we're at different places, and that's okay with Daddy because His presence is here right now to pull you in. No one can come to Him unless His Spirit draw them. So if I'm not getting this unction that I'm feeling right now, I'm going to close here in just the next few moments and dismiss everybody to go eat and enjoy. But there's an unction here. And there's a presence, there's an evidence of God's Spirit. And most of you here right now can convey that reality. Yeah, man, I feel the presence of God right now. So we get to play in Daddy's playground, the one He's given to you and I, and we can have anything that we can believe right now. Anything. We may not take advantage of that, and then there's some that may. And the Lord is so good that He'll keep coming. He'll keep pulling on us. He'll keep drawing us. He'll keep giving us opportunities, amen, to taste and see how good He is and how valuable we are to Him. He doesn't stop. He keeps reaching. And so every morning that we get up, his mercies are made new. Amen. And he's after us. The Philippian church, in Philippians 4, one of my favorite passages, they're going through some trouble. And Paul is writing to encourage them because they're being fed to the lions in arenas where tens and thousands of people are there to be entertained because they're evil. They've messed up. They're not obedient to the government. They're caused trouble. And so they're wondering, the Philippian group, the Philippian believers are wondering when they're next in line to go be fed to the lions. And Nero has made his mind up. He wants to annihilate the Christians, the believers. Now, today, you may not be faced with hungry lions and being fed to them, but you are being challenged with spiritual forces that are feeding off of your fears, your worries, your anxieties, the doubts, the things that we really don't know, we don't want in our life that we know impact our lives and impact the lives around us. When I carry doubt and fear with me, it influences the people around me because I am hosting the presence of the one I'm serving. Anybody ever done that before? I have to raise my hand more than I want to because I've been angry. I've worried. I've let fear come in. I didn't want nobody to know it, but it was there. And there's always fruit that follows that fear or that anxiety or that frustration or that worry. Amen? And so, you know, being hard-headed like I've been more than I want to talk about is nothing more than a type of witchcraft, which produces, amen, worry over everything. Anybody worried about things going on right now? So do we want to promote our Father, Jesus Christ, or do we want to promote Satan, amen, and his kingdom? And I know everybody says, no, well, I'm here today because I want to promote Jesus. I want to be a child of God. We all do. And so there's a sweet spot that God wants us to move into, and he's invited us, and he's already set the platform. It comes by experience. And so we're experiencing a dynamic right now that God is in this place. His presence is here. And you're comfortable with the fact that you feel safe enough to be in this particular building, in this setting where people are gathering, and to listen to a country boy talk about Jesus. You feel safe enough to do that. You feel like, I don't know how God uses him, but I'm going to take advantage of what God's doing through him. And I have to encourage you, the Lord wants to use every one of us the same way. Every one of you are powerful, very powerful. Matter of fact, just go ahead and say this to you so you can catch this. Everyone in this room is a leader. Everyone. Every one of you have influence with people. There's certain people you like to hang out with because you have influence with them. They have influence with you. And so the beautiful thing about being a leader is, in our world, we think we need to make sure everybody agrees with our opinion as leaders. And that ain't happening. Matter of fact, the temptation, well, I'm not a leader because they keep making bad decisions. They won't follow. Anybody ever? I know you're talking about your spouse right now. But to be God's leader is to follow him. Catch this. You got to catch this. You're not responsible for the choices those who supposedly are following you make. I never heard that before. And some of you have heard the Lord say that before too. But for you that haven't realized that the choice is those who are attracted to you, it's still their choice whether or not to follow or not. Anybody ever got heartburn because you're trying to help someone get to the next level and they just won't go? And all of a sudden it's like, my God, why even try anymore? And all God's asking for you to do is stay focused on the prize. Focus on the mark. Amen? Follow him. Not everybody followed Jesus. Did that stop him from leading? Does Jesus make anybody follow him? No. Is he still a leader? Oh, my goodness. The enemy's shaking in his pointy toe boots now. Because all of a sudden, if I'm not responsible for the choice that a follower would make as I'm pointing them to Christ, I'm going to keep pointing them to Christ. And if they fail, that's okay. If they fuss about it, if they're having heartburn, if they're causing me trouble in the process, I'm going to keep. Anybody need mercy? How do you get mercy? You give it. Come on, you want your basket to overflow? Yeah, we can put some money in it. Oh, no, no. Put some mercy in it. Put some forgiveness, some justice in it. Amen. In other words, give it away to others, and it'll come back to you pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. A leader in their sweet spot, they keep giving Jesus away. They just keep giving Jesus away. They just keep giving him to everybody they come in contact with, whether or not they eat the bread from heaven and embrace him with an emphatic amen. They just keep giving Jesus away. And the more you give him away, guess what? All the things that I need in my life are taken care of according to his riches in glory. Why? Because I'm taking care of his business. And Adam walks with the voice of God. You and I are sons and children of Adam. Amen. Prior to being born again. Once you're born again, you're in the redeemed state now. You're sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. The second man, Adam. Because the first man, Adam, gave in to the lie. Oh, this is so good today. And there's lies that we agree with more than we want to talk about. Identifying those lies is important. And one of the lies for leaders is that we've got to make people follow. And if people are not following, then I'm not a good leader. Have you ever heard that before? You can measure how good of a leader you are by who's following you. I've heard that before. I've actually said that, and I agreed with that. This is so important. Because the ladies have been asking for the men to lead. They've been asking. And the men are thinking, they ain't going to follow me if I do. And so why try? I mean, they said it out loud, but they, if you listen in the spirit, they're screaming it like, no way, man. Our culture don't have room for men to lead. But the kingdom of God does. And a man that knows how to lead is attractive. He's salty. He's like, he ain't dominating. He ain't making people do nothing. Men that lead, they get in their sweet spot by listening to what the Spirit is saying. It took me 39 years, but I've come to realize that don't tell Tammy God said anything. Oh, this is going to help you guys. You got to get it. Because you use God, you just throw the God card now. I know she's saying, that's right, don't forget that. But when I say something that God would say without throwing the God card down, it ain't long she's coming back talking about it. It's attractive to her for me to only say what I hear my father say. It's attractive to her when she ain't following me to watch me follow him. She likes that. Because eventually, she'll get in the current. And you know what? That's God's plan. It ain't about me. It ain't about her. It's about him in our lives. And he's given us his name that's above every name. And so, ladies, help me here. Men, just lead. You don't make demands. Don't get in your relationship. Christ can bless God. I wear the pants in the house. I'm the man here. Wait a minute, you just lost the battle just then. The enemy won. No. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant. And everybody in this room is great. And when we as men serve in our identity, His greatness comes through. Ladies, when they serve in their identity, His greatness comes through. And they can do what men can't do. We ain't designed to do what they do. God's plan can't be fulfilled without them being powerful in their identity. But leading ain't controlling nobody. Leading is serving, amen, from the master's table, our daddy's table. Is anybody tracking? You can't be in your sweet spot as a leader with anxiety and worry and fretfulness and fear and frustration. You can't do it. But you can lead from the presence of the one you host. And when it's time for those that are attracted to, they're going to eat from the... Everyone in this room is a tree that's supposed to be planted by the rivers, right? Anybody want to be a tree planted by the rivers? Well, I don't know about that. Well, that's one of God's plans. We're like fruit-carrying trees. Which fruit are you carrying? What root are you tapped into? What source are you drawing from? And the psalmist David talks about you and I, the righteous, being trees planted by the river. And everyone in this world is going to be attracted to somebody that gives off good fruit. People are not attracted to bad fruit. But when you're in your sweet spot, you don't produce good fruit, you carry it. You host it. Jesus Christ. You carry Him and His dynamics wherever you go. He's the one producing it through you. And so Adam walks with the voice of God, and he takes care of God's business. And while Adam is listening and following, God takes care of his business. He keeps him. He covers him. He protects him. He blesses him. He's just, everything that Adam does, he's just, wow, man, this is awesome. Anybody want to be wowed by God today? And so the heavenly host that are circling the throne and saying, holy, 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 look like that'd get boring, don't it? But every time they say holy, it's because they just got wowed by the one that they're circling around the throne. The revealing of Him is incomprehensible. And the angels that are circling that throne for eternity are just wowed by the next revelation. Holy, oh my goodness, holy. I mean, just anybody want to be wowed by what God can do today? This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're born again of spirit and fire, an experience with God that lets us know, oh, yeah, I'm in the current right now. You don't have to guess. You don't have to try to figure it out, because you're not going to figure it out. Everything about you and God's plan for your life is experiential. So I would encourage you, amen, to don't wear yourself out trying to get more knowledge of Him. Know Him. Okay, which one? Don't try to get more knowledge of Him. Know Him. Be intimate with Him. Meet Him in spirit, because the spirit gives life, but the letter kills. You can quote all 66 books of the Bible and be the carrier of death everywhere you go. Or you can get the spirit of the letter and experience it and let breath come into you, and you'll give life everywhere you go. Does anybody want to go there with Jesus? And you can do that today. He's letting me know that He's setting us up, not because we're good, but because He's good. He's so good. And He chose us. And I read, amen, this is what Paul tells the Philippian church. He says, in Philippians 4 and 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. Rejoice. Now, hold it now. These people are being fed to lions as entertainment. And this is the message that Paul is getting from heaven. Is Jesus in the storm? Is Jesus in the pain? Is Jesus in the prison? Wherever we make our bed, he's there, right? And if we ever get a glimpse of him, it really don't matter what we go through, we're with him. Because it's light and it's easy. Well, they're freaking out right now because they can't figure this out. And you're never going to figure out how to be fed to lions. But you can have an experience with God that will take you through it. And Nero, according to history, Nero was infuriated. He was so angry because when he would go, behold, those that had been fed to the lions, their faces, they were smiling and they were at peace. Whew. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. And only God is going to take you through the attacks on your spirit. The spirits that feed on you through fear and doubt and unbelief and anxiety and frustration and division and offense, and the list goes on of things that we know we don't like carrying because it's no fun to carry it. I hadn't met anybody that loved being offended. Hadn't met anybody that just liked being mad all the time. When you talk about the things that, man, I wish everybody said, man, I want peace. Oh. And Paul goes on, and he keeps writing this letter to these people that, amen, are his brother. Let everyone see that you are considered in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about, okay, pray. Well, no, it's really talking about the redeemed walk with the voice of God. When you catch prayer from the right lens, and you get a revelation of what prayer is, it's fellowship. It's hosting God's presence. Okay, so they're about to take you out there to the arena. Okay, you might want to fellowship with the Lord before you go out there, because he's got something for you. Because, they may not eat you, they may, but regardless, you're going to be at peace and you're going to be happy about the process. Same thing with your marriage. Same thing with your business. Same thing with your finances. Same thing with whatever's going on in your little world right now that's freaking you out. You might want to pause for station identification and say, Lord, let's talk about this. He said, I wonder when you're going to talk about it. Because I got something I'm going to get glory from you doing. And while you're taking care of my business, I'm going to take care of your business. But he will not take care of our business until we first come to him as the source. And he'll give us an experience to do whatever it is he's asking us to do on his behalf. Whatever he's asking from you, you will get so on fire to go there, it won't matter what it's doing, what it is. It won't matter what fangs it may have, what fear it may be trying to throw off on you and anxiety. You'll go there because what you're experiencing in the spirit puts you in your sweet spot, and whatever that is, don't even compare. Because you're in something eternal, and whatever that is you're facing can't take it from you. Mm-mm. Does anybody want to go there with Daddy? Where you're living without any frustration, any offense. Look, I like things to be in order. I'm a plan of action guy. And if the plan of action ain't happening, I'm getting antsy. Might be frustrated. I might get angry if I'm not in my sweet spot. But if I get that plan of action done, come on, this is good. I'm repenting in front of you and Jesus. I get that plan of action done, but in the process, I make everybody mad doing it. Was it a good thing? Oh, a plan of action is a good thing, but I got it accomplished, but in the process, I had to knock a few out to get it done. Is that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. That plan of action was a bad thing. Anybody tracking yet? What is it that you like so much and it equals something good to you so much you'll get out of the character of Christ to make sure it gets done? And everybody has something that they really like that they say is good, and they'll justify saying, Holy Spirit, hang on just a minute. I got to go take care of something. Right? And you get out of the spirit, your sweet spot, to accomplish this thing that's good. And you'll say stuff you know you shouldn't have said. And you'll posture yourself in such a way as to thinking, bless God, this is mine. You don't mess with it. No, it's not. It belongs to the Lord, and you're not taking care of it correctly right now. He owns it all. We're stewards. We're not owners. We're stewards. We're sons and daughters that have been given the opportunity to step in our dynamic sweet spot and bring glory to Him. So anything that I say equals good but don't glorify Him is not God. It's my idea of what equals good, but it's not God. And we must catch this today because God wants to set you free and set me free, and God bless the baby that's weeping and travailing right now. Amen. Mama's going to go help. Amen. We might need to go to that in prayer room. Weeping and travail. But we're at a place right now we have to decide. Am I going to rejoice in the midst of what looks to be my end? It looks like it. I think, man, did y'all know that the government can't make you happy? A lot of Christians think the government can. But they can't. Who's ever voted in ain't gonna make nobody happy. There ain't no such thing as the government or politicians making anyone happy. So whatever your preference is, as far as your party or your political slant, whatever that is, it can't make you happy. Only one can make you happy is Jesus. And He ain't stepping off of His throne. He's fully in charge. Come on, if you want to get in your sweet spot, you better go ahead and accept that. Because whatever trouble in our world's going on, the reason the trouble is happening, God, you got to get this, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken until everything that cannot be shaken remains. And that's the people of God who are in their sweet spot. And it brings glory to Him. Jesus is the King of Kings. That's all that matters. And we're His children. And in this world, you're an ambassador in the United States. In the United States, you're an ambassador of another kingdom. Oh, yeah, you might have the citizenship of America, United States, on you, but you've been blood-bought, and you've accepted who you are as an ambassador of another kingdom. What the United States government needs from us is to pray for them, to bless them, and so that there's peace in our own home, right? But they need us to be who we're designed to be. The government needs the church to stand up in her sweet spot and manifest. Because you can do more than what the government can do to bring peace in our world. And Paul writes, it says, remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace. Then you will experience God's peace. He's letting them know, I know some of you probably going to the to the arena to be fed in the lions, but if you want peace, this is how you get it, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Get in your sweet spot. Get in your sweet spot. What things are you engaged in right now? What good things are you doing? Doing good outside of your sweet spot can never be good, nor will it ever be God. In your sweet spot, He gets all the glory and the honor. And we could say every day, look what the Lord is doing. Look what our Father is accomplishing. And He's letting us be a part of that. Amen? As we trust what He's speaking to our spirit, wonderful things begin to happen. Amen. I challenged everybody last week with the one thing that assisted Enoch into becoming a man that walked with God and was not. He was taken. And we found out that Jesus is telling His followers, the least in My kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, Solomon, and you just keep naming. That the least in My kingdom supersedes anybody on that side of the cross. Can we all agree? Amen's important. Because it was faith that Enoch got a hold of. Took him 300 years to catch it. But when he finally got it, he stepped into his sweet spot by faith. Faith comes by hearing, come on, and Adam listening and walking with God. And he walked with the Lord, and he came up missing one day. Anybody want to come up missing? Everybody in this room, the Lord's kind of trying to let you know, you can actually get into a place with Him to where you can walk with Him and you'll just come up missing. Well, that's the rapture, Pastor. Okay, whatever you want to call it. But the point is that if you see yourself as this, God says you're greater than anybody you can name on that other side of the cross. And when He gets through with you, you will stop seeing yourself like this. You'll start believing, oh, man, all that God's asking from me is to walk with Him. That's all He's asking. He ain't asking me to go make somebody do good. He's not asking me to get people to line up and straighten up, and we need to get our government in line so we can execute morality. And man, we're going to make people yield to goodwill. No, you're not. All you do is going to wear yourself out because you'll never legislate goodwill. It isn't possible. People are continually be people without God in our world. But if you decide to be with God, you just walk with Him. And you only say what you hear Him say, and you only do what you see Him do. You're in your sweet spot. Now, Peter, everybody like Peter? I'm kin to Peter. I mean, I can prove that with all my stories. Peter is toiling all night fishing. Is fishing a bad thing? No, it's a good thing. Matter of fact, God uses it at the top of the kingdom, fishing for people. And so he's fished all night long. Maybe it's because he's doing it at night. I don't know. Nonetheless, he's tired, and he's mending his nets. And the Lord, this is when Jesus comes up and meets Peter for the first time. Right in one of his moments where he's tired and he ain't wanting to fish no more right now, I want to get these nets cleaned up, and I want to go lay down. And the Lord says, can I use your boat? And the presence of Jesus is like, yeah, you can, yeah. Can you push me out just a little ways? And by the time he gets through just talking, and Peter's listening, he's hearing something, and it's impacting him. It's, wow, every time Jesus says something, it's like, whoa, man, that's good. Next thing you know, Jesus has coached him back out there where he don't want to be right now. Oh, yeah, this is good. When you get in your sweet spot, you'll go places you never would go without him. And you'll do things you never would do without him. Anybody want to get there? Because you're not going to do it until you let him come and you experience him. And so Peter's experiencing Jesus. And he's only getting a taste and see that the Lord is good experience. And Jesus moves now, let's go out to deeper waters. He got him out to deep water. He says, now, cast your nets here and now. And Peter's like, Lord, but you don't understand. I've been working all night, and there ain't nothing biting, and it's a waste of time. Nevertheless, I don't know why I'm doing this, but yeah, let's do it. And he throws it at the specific time, at the specific location where Jesus says, do it. And the greatest miracle that Peter's ever seen up to that point is happening. He ain't never seen nets that full. The fish were jumping in the nets while he was trying to bring them in. I mean, and he's filling up his boat, and he's calling for other boats to come so they can fill up those boats on one draw. And my mind just goes, all because Peter got to a place where he was listening to the master talk. And the Lord's telling me right now, with all of you, you're just a posture away of stepping into what you've never seen before if you can hear what the Spirit is saying. Everything is spiritual. Everything. And everything that's spiritual has an experience with it that stamps you and me with his signature. And everything that you need taken care of, he takes care of it while you're there with him. He don't miss nothing. Every disease, every financial challenge, every broken relationship, he meets us there with, yes, Lord, amen. Ah, yeah, I think I'll do that with you, Lord. And while you're engaging with him, it's impacting everything in your life. He knows already what you have need of before you ask him. Sweet spot. Sweet spot. And today, y'all feel the dynamics in this room right here? Woo! That's our daddy. And you are in the throne room of the King. Not this building. The dynamics of his presence. And you are his temple. Because you made a choice to come today. And the Spirit drew you. Some of you said, man, the devil almost convinced me not. Right? Almost convinced me not. But I showed up. How did you get here? Something was pulling on you. And you showed up here because this dynamic for this group was ordained by God before you showed up. He saw this moment before you got here. And he set it up. We ain't this smart, y'all. We just ain't this smart. We ain't got nothing figured out. And it's the grace of God that we're having the presence of God be so thick right now. All right, four important keys to you living in your sweet spot. And we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to take some time today, and nobody has to stay. But we're going to take some time today to entertain God's presence that we're feeling right now and allow him to come even closer and closer. Amen. Until we forget about what the world thinks, the people around us think, all that matters is what he thinks. First things first. First things first. Got to catch that. What's the first thing? Faith. Faith. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. You can't hear, you can't get to the miracle. But if you can hear, anything's possible. And once you hear, because there's an experience, right? Peter experienced hearing the Lord, and he experienced pushing back his weariness and the fact that he'd been working all night. And he said, nevertheless, Lord, I just feel like it would be wise right now in my spirit to go ahead and throw these nets out. Because I just believe something's about to happen that I ain't ever. And I don't know why I believe that, but here we go. You're going to experience what hearing. You're already experiencing right now. That's why this hush in the room. You're experiencing what hearing does. Oh, I like this. All right, next level. Let's go all in. Let's go all in. Going all in is simply you've decided, I'm stepping out of the boat right now. This ain't adding up, and I don't care. I'm in. And if I need to swim and tread water, okay. But I'm going to trust God and walk where I've never walked before. I'm going all in. I'm not deviating. I'm not asking anybody's permission. I've got a direction from heaven. I'm in. And when you decide to go all in, I got all kinds of stories that go with being all in. And then you become grateful. Point number three. Anybody want to be thankful for what God's done? Has anybody ever tried to be thankful when you wasn't thankful? You was mad still? I don't need to be thankful. Thank you, Jesus, but I'm ticked off right now. Huh? And you know you need to be full of gratitude, but right now you want to knock somebody out. Huh? Is this good? And so the Lord knows what to do with that. He understands that you want to knock them out. And all he's asking from you when you go all in is get honest. Tell the truth. Lord, I want to knock them out, and I know I shouldn't, and you got to help me right. He said, I'm glad you asked. He has an experience when you hear his voice. He has an experience when you decide to step out of the boat. He has an experience when you decide that, man, I'm going to glorify you, Lord. Still want to knock them out, but you going to help me? And he'll meet you there and clear that anger and that frustration and that resistance in your spirit out. And next thing you know, you can't thank him enough because you don't deserve this, and he's doing it anyway. And here it is, it's coming in waves. To the point that number four, amen, you live in the moment. You live in the moment. You slow down till you hear his melody. You get the rhythm. You get in the current. And now you have this, I know that I know that I know. I'm going to set you up here with an encouraging word as we close this and step into experience. In Acts 2, they experience the baptism of Spirit and fire, but there's a setup. They're already hearing him. They're already all in. They're saying, Lord, let us go tell him. No, you're not ready. God empower you. You're not ready for what you're about to face. I see what's ahead, and I got to get you ready. You got to be empowered to do it. The world needs you to let me empower you. And so the Lord sets them up. And they begin to hang out together for like 7 days and talk about what God had done. Man, they're coming out of the grave and walking through walls and all this stuff happening. He goes up in the cloud and they're talking about it. And their Thanksgiving is getting to a place where, man, they're in the middle of stepping into their sweet spot, getting into the moment to where the baptism of the Spirit falls on them. And they hear the good news that Peter preaches that day, and they're pricked in their heart. All the people that hadn't yet jumped in their sweet spot yet, they're convicted because they hear the good news. And when they hear the good news, they say things like, what must we do? They're pricked in their hearts, and they're saying, I'm ready to get all in. What do I need to do? Peter says, repent. In other words, Get honest about where you are, because what you just heard, you're agreeing with it. Now you can go down in the water in his name. And when you come up out of the water, boom, you can be in your sweet spot, filled with his spirit and fire. But then stop there, y'all. In Acts 4, what Jesus knew was coming, the religious group made sure everybody that believed in Jesus knew, if you preach in his name, we're going to kill you. And you know what? The believers believed them because they saw them kill him. And they, you know, it might have been a couple of weeks since they've been filled with the Spirit. And all of a sudden, their leaky vessels is leaked out and they need to refill again. In Acts 4, they come together and they start talking about, we're hearing all these threats. And they decide, well, what we're lacking is we need to hear what God has to say about that. And so they regrouped and directed their frustrations and their fear to heaven, and heaven come back and filled them up again and neutralized the lies and the fear and the anxiety. And when they got filled again with the Spirit, they went out in boldness, not trying to be rebellious, but being honorable to the one that loves them more than anybody. And they went and preached Christ. God knew that the Gentiles needed to be set up. And he finds a man by the name of Cornelius that prayed always and gave much alms to the people. And the Lord sends an angel to Cornelius in his time of prayer. And it shook him. He's like, oh, man, I had this happen before. But the Lord says to the angel, I've been hearing you, Cornelius. And it has come up as a memorial, sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And because you've been reaching out, I've heard you. Now I'm going to let you hear me. And Cornelius was setting himself up to put the first things first. And the Lord said, send men to Joppa and call for one whose name is Peter. He going to tell you what I got to say about this. God ain't going to do it through an angel, y'all. He going to do it through the preaching of the word that he saves us, carrying the good news. And when Peter shows up, he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, that everybody is being called to this. And while Peter was preaching, they were all hearing, and they were all making decisions. I want this. I'm going all in. And thanksgiving welled up in their spirit, and the next thing you know, those of the circumcision, the Jews that were with Peter, because they ain't supposed to be there. It was kind of like against the law to be there in a Gentile's house. They were there because Peter heard from heaven in a trance and says, I need to go down there. God's fixing to do something. And they're in a Gentile's house, and they're watching God give them the same baptism of spirit and fire that they received in Acts 2. For they heard them praise God, talk the king's language, speak with tongues. And then what did Peter say? Is anybody ready to be baptized? He commanded them all to be baptized. So I'm saying this to y'all, that it's a setup, y'all, that hearing, putting first things first, hearing, going all in, being grateful, and then living in the moment is experiential. It's not something you can figure out, but you can know by experience. Nothing in God's kingdom for his kids happens without experience. I got to say that again, because if you're going to live in your sweet spot, there's got to be a platform by which the rivers of living water flow out of you. Does anybody want that today? I don't know about you. I serve here, amen, as a steward of God's kingdom to encourage you to be mighty men and women of valor, ministers of the kingdom. And as believers, that's who you are. And I'm here to encourage you to become that. But I know you can't without experience. Jesus knew we couldn't unless we experienced his spirit and fire. we couldn't be a witness to him. And I know you're here today because you want to be a witness to him. So I'm asking our worship team to come out, and we're going to just take our time. And you that need to go, you can go. And you're not going to be judged. It's like, man, I can't believe y'all leaving the move of God. No. When you go, God's going with you because he loves you. He's not through. Get ready. The best is yet to happen. But today, he's challenged me to encourage you to let him come in a deeper way than he's ever come in your life before. And that when you leave today, you can leave walking in your sweet spot. Is that okay? Now, does anybody believe that God is big? Well, of course, Pastor. Well, do you believe he's as big as you'll let him be? And letting him be big, letting him be real, is up to me and you. I've got religious masks that I'm still pulling off, y'all, that diminishes the size of how God can be big in my life. And I know that God has revealed some of those masks to you today. And it's okay if you leave those masks wherever you make your altar at. Leave them and don't pick them back up again. And relax and go with the current of God's Spirit. Could we do that today? And so for the first little bit of time, we're just going to, as you feel like the Lord's leading you and putting first things first, going all in, getting full of thanksgiving, and then stepping into the moment, let the Lord lead you through that process so you can be in your sweet spot. Can you do that today? Amen. And I'm encouraging you, don't rush. However long it takes you and Daddy to work it out, that's fine. Amen. Unless you got an appointment, I encourage you to relax. If you have an appointment, be a person into you while you're driving there. He can work that out in your life. Everybody feel no pressure? Can we turn our hearts to heaven right now? You can sit there. You can stand. The prayer team is coming forward if you want someone to pray with you. But we're going to work through in the Spirit, first things first. And let him move you in to getting all in now. And when you get all in, it's going to follow because he's going to bring it out of you, a spirit of thanksgiving. Amen? We agree? And then you're going to step into your sweet spot. You're going to get into the moment. Amen. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. You're making things happen, and we're turning our hearts towards you right now, Lord, because we found out this world can't offer me peace. Our government that we pray for, and God, direct their steps, order their path. Please keep them. They can't make us happy. They don't have the answer to peace. But right here in this little circle that I'm drawing around me and everyone's drawing around themselves is the greatest move of God that our earth is waiting on. It's the most important dynamic. It's greater than any nuclear warhead or warfare. You chose through your sons and daughters to change the dynamics of creation and to continue to create through them, by giving them your words to repeat. Giving them your fingerprint. You knit them together in their mother's womb. You formed them, and wonderfully and fearfully they were made by your hands, because you have a plan, Lord. And the enemy's working over trying to stop it, but he's not stopping the anointing that you've already preordained to run through their spirit, out of their hearts and mouths. Lord, you're going to finish something huge through this body. You're going to impact this community. This community is going to impact our world because we believe. Thank you, Father, right now for spirit and fire. Thank you for identity. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us to be your temple, your platform, so that you can glorify your name all over the world. I encourage you right now. Amen. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit,
But just let's turn our hearts to heaven. Amen.